It's my pleasure to introduce our speaker today. Josh is a native of DeSoto, and then spent some time out in Brownwood going to school at Howard Payne, and then went to really what I consider to be the only seminary worth going to, DTS. He works at East West Ministries, and that's really kind of a connection here with our ministry in East West and getting us involved in some international places because of East West. So really thankful for that relationship. Josh is also married to Allison for 12 years, going on 13 years, which is pretty phenomenal. I know because I've been married 13 years, and he's crushing it, though. Man, I don't know if I am. I got to check in. Five kids. Okay, so you got Chloe, George, and let's see if I can do it, Mariah, Sherrod, and Isla. And they are ages, you know, between 11 and down to like 5-ish. Almost 6 in a couple weeks. Months, couple weeks. All right. Anyway, I'm really looking forward to hearing from Josh. So if you guys would just put your hands together, welcome our speaker.
Jeff, I feel like I've known you. I haven't known you for too long. You're the kind of guy that feels free to ask questions, and I look forward to hearing them here in about 15 minutes or so. Hey, thank you guys so much for having me today. I met Bill through my work at East West, and I have thoroughly enjoyed my time at East West for almost 7 years now. I've gotten to go to some pretty cool places. I've led what we call extreme mission trips to India, Nepal. These are trips where you go in to reach people that you can't get to unless you're on foot. So you fly 14 hours from DFW to Dubai, and then 5 hours from Dubai to Delhi, and then 2 hours from Delhi to Shimla, and then you drive for 8 nauseating hours up into the mountains, and then you hike half a day, and that's your first campsite. And then we spend 5 days trekking through all these mountain villages, just sharing the gospel everywhere we go and planting churches. And it's a pretty rewarding, wonderful, adventurous way to do ministry. Incidentally, the last time I did a trip like that before the pandemic, it was a trip of all dads. It was just men who were married, who were older, some of them were younger, but all of them had kids. And it might not surprise you to hear that I learned one of my favorite dad jokes on that trip from a group full of dads in Dubai. It goes like this. He said, "Hey, what's the difference between Dubai and Abu Dhabi?" I said, "I don't know. What's the difference between Dubai and Abu Dhabi?" He said, "The people in Dubai don't like the Flintstones, but the people in Abu Dhabi do." Got Sebastian on that one. Yeah, that was my reaction too. I have had the chance to go on adventures like this because of my faith in Jesus, a faith that I claim as a generational inheritance. Let me explain. I stand before you as the product of generational faithfulness. Balthrop men have practiced this faithfulness as far back as I am able to count in my lifetime. My great-grandfather, Horace Clack Balthrop, I know, what a name, right? He was a man who accepted Christ at a young age, at his father's leading, grew up to be a faithful man, raised his children in church, and led his son to Christ. Not too long ago, I asked my dad if he could tell me a story about my great-grandfather because I never knew him. He died before I was born. And my dad said, "Well, you know, there is one story I think you'd like. I was a teenager," this is my dad, "and the church was searching for a new pastor. And one Sunday evening, this prospective pastor, preacher, was preaching in view of a call." Remember when we used to do that? And apparently, this preacher was telling a lot of funny stories and interesting anecdotes, and the crowd was loving it, but not my great-grandpa. He stood up in the middle of one of these stories and shouted, "You need to stop telling stories and start preaching the gospel." So that was the man who raised my grandfather, Horace Clack Balthrop Jr., who was a faithful man, served in India in World War II, came home, raised his children in the church, worked hard at the same job for 50 years, led my dad to Christ when he was a young boy in the 50s. My dad, Jeffrey, thank you, Grandpa, for not dooming me to be Horace Clack the Fourth, grew up here in Dallas, married my mom, spent 35 years faithfully teaching junior high math in DeSoto, raised his children in the church, and led me to Christ when I was 7 years old. About 3 years ago, I had the chance to baptize my oldest son, George, when he was 7 years old, and I made sure that he knew the story of his inheritance. Balthrop men are men of faith whose lives tell the story of a race run with endurance. If you have a Bible on your phone, go ahead and look up Hebrews chapter 12. I bet you've heard this verse preached 2,000 times, but we're going to look at Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 2. I'm going to read them for us. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which so easily entangles, and let us run the race with endurance that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Like I said, these two verses have been preached endlessly in the 2,000 years since they've been written. And for the longest time, you know, I kind of resisted this idea of having a favorite verse or a life verse. It was too cliche, too limiting, you know? How could I choose one favorite flower in the entire incredible bouquet of scripture? But I gotta say, in my years as a grown man, if there's any verse that's become an ever-present reminder for me, especially when I'm struggling to be the dad, it's this one. Of course, you see the therefore at the beginning of this verse, Hebrews 12, 1. And as you know the rule in scripture, whenever you see a therefore, you have to ask, what's the therefore? That's right. What is the therefore, therefore? And we know that in chapter 11, Hebrews lists, the author of Hebrews lists all of the great heroes of the Hebrew scripture. And for me, it's not just the heroes of the Hebrew scripture that I remember when I see that therefore. I also remember the long list of fathers that I inherited by God's grace, Balthrop men who were faithful. I remember the pastors and the mentors who saw something in me and called me to work it out for the good of the kingdom. I remember my friends, my peers who, like me, have all committed to be great men, great dads by God's grace. I am surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, not just these heroes of the scriptures, but men who formed me and shaped me and gave me a spiritual inheritance. And we see the work that we have to do to throw off sinfulness. And yes, we could preach, we could write books and preach for hours about the complicated, busy work of eliminating sin in our lives, but I'd like to say that I think for our purposes, it's relatively simple. Where you see sin, do hard work. Strive in prayer with accountability to lean on Christ and gain freedom from sin. Why? Why? Because we have a long race to run, and it requires endurance. So, my fellow men, I charge you to run the race with endurance for the three most important areas in our life. Number one, run with endurance as disciples of Christ. I want you to think about giving your children the gift of your faith. But how do I give my faith away, you ask? It's pretty simple. When in doubt, pray. Go ahead and say it. When in doubt, pray. Pray every day with your family. It can literally just be 2 minutes that you pray with your wife before you fall asleep with whatever's on your mind, whatever's on her mind. Pray with your children before they go to bed about whatever happened that day. Pray prayers of thankfulness and protection and watchfulness and confession and forgiveness. You've heard, of course, that more is caught than taught. You cannot give away what you do not possess. If you do nothing else for your children, cultivate a habit of making it normal to talk to God in your house. And read your dang Bible. I know that the enemy actively wants to keep us from God's word. Every day, as my mentor always said, you cannot be close to God and far from his word. And so every day I'll open one of the Gospels or one of the Psalms and just read a little bit before my kids go to school. It's not much. Sometimes it's a full chapter. Sometimes it's just a single story, a few verses. We'll ask God to teach us something we can use that day, and then we bless the day in prayer. And at night, we sing. Thank you to my dad for teaching me that, just singing with my kids and teaching them the joy of music. We sing and we pray with the kids before bed. But if you're not doing it one-on-one, you and Jesus, then you'll never do it with your kids. You can't fake faithful discipleship. More is caught than taught. Second, run the race with endurance as husbands. You need to give your children the gift of a model marriage. Teach your sons how to love a woman well, and teach your daughters what to expect from a man by faithfully loving your wife with all your heart. There's two game-changing practices here, and they're both pretty similar. The first we call couch time in my house. Every day, or nearly every day, I come home and my wife and I, we sit down and we debrief our day in a place where the kids can see us. Now, they're allowed to be around. We want them to see us doing it, but they're not allowed to interrupt. This shows them a few things. Number one, that mom and I depend on each other to process our days, to go through this life together, to mutually spur one another on to love and good works every day. And that is important enough for us to not let the kids interrupt. And it teaches them that mom and dad love each other. And if I had hours, I would go much deeper into the importance, how important it is for a child's identity to be anchored in the confidence of their parents' marriage. But the second game changer is weekly date nights. Weekly date nights. Yes, I said weekly. You can write this down. If you don't write anything else down, write this down. Consistency beats intensity. 40 to 45 easygoing date nights a year beat one grand anniversary or Valentine's Day dinner. I've been married for 12 and a half years, and I have taken my wife on a weekly date night, with very few exceptions, all of that time. And when the pandemic hit, we said, well, we can either get good at dates at home or we can make excuses. But it doesn't have to be crazy. And I found dance tutorials on YouTube. We learned which restaurant's food isn't as good when you take it home. And we played a lot of board games. The point is, you don't need to make excuses. Just make it happen. It doesn't have to cost that much. There was a time when literally all we could afford was the babysitter. So we went out, we would get a cup of coffee or even bring one with us, and we might read poetry to each other while we walked in a park or walk around Lowe's and dream about what our house would be like someday. your kids need this. They need to know deep in their bones, my mom and dad love each other. And they love each other enough to go and hang out without me. It does the opposite effect. They don't feel abandoned. They feel safe when they know that they're not the most important relationship in my life. P.S. I know that many of you, not only you who are in this room, but you who are listening online, I know that many of you may no longer be married, were never married, or are no longer married to your children's mother. First, let me say this. If you are harboring any unforgiveness in any way, ruthlessly kill that immediately. It is a venomous snake that will eat you and your children alive. Second, strive to show your children how to love, or how the love of Christ infuses every relationship, even ones that the world thinks are supposed to be awkward, like ex-spouses or step-parents. And third, no matter what your relationship is with the concept of marriage, no matter what your history is with the idea of marriage, your children need you to be a student of marriage so they can learn from you what to expect. So just commit that you're going to read one book a year about healthy marriage, even if you're not married. Commit to talking to men whose marriages you respect and asking them how they've done it so well for so many years. So third, we need to run the race with endurance as fathers. Give your children the gift of your prayerful effort to disciple them. That means disciplining them correctly. And I know that all of you have been through Abiding Fathers training, so you know that there is a whole lot more to discipline than just spanking, right? Right? Okay. I suggest, in case you're unfamiliar, that you just keep it simple by framing your discipline around the concept of forgiveness. In my home, here's how it goes. We try to do the best to maintain one rule: first time obedience. And to say it the kid way, we say, "Hey kids, how do we obey?" And they say, "Right away, all the way, the happy way." That's how we obey. I obey right away, all the way, the happy way. And of course, a lot of times it sounds like this. I obey right away, all the time, the happy way. Right? You don't sound very happy. Right. But they know that they have to obey right away, all the way, the happy way. And when they fail, it is a failure of relationship. And so we deal with it as a broken relationship. Let's say there's an offending child, my youngest, Isla. She's the most offensive right now. So she doesn't obey right away, all the way, the happy way. And I say, "Isla, go sit down on the steps." And she goes and sits on the steps, and then I come up to her and I say, "What did you do wrong?" And she has to say it. "Here's what I did wrong." It's a moment of confession. Why is that wrong? Teach the moral reason why. Why is that wrong? And it's pretty simple, right? Mom and dad know best, or I should treat people the way I want to be treated, things like that. Okay, now what needs to happen? And different, failures bring different punishments. And then she receives the chastisement, the punishment, whatever it is. And then after it's over, once we're calm, we say, "Okay, what do you need to say?" And the child says, this is training from the before they can remember, "I'm sorry for doing this. Please forgive me." And then the best part, as dads, is I get to go, "I forgive you. Now come here." And we do big hugs, and relationship is restored. That is the gift that your children need for you to discipline them the way God disciplines us. We hold expectations and we don't let them go, but we always seek to restore relationship by confession and forgiveness. The hardest thing about this is what I call the Patriot Principle. And we're going to wrap up with this. So you guys remember The Patriot, right? A rousing Mel Gibson epic back in the late 90s, early 2000s, right? I see nodding heads. Of course, if you haven't seen it, you know, go watch it. You're going to see some blood, but that's okay. We're men, right? So remember in The Patriot, that final battle, right? It's the one that's going to finally defeat the British. And the line is breaking, right? And some of the soldiers are fleeing. And Mel Gibson, his character, he knows that they have what they need to win. And so he grabs the flag in a moment of inspiration and he runs toward the enemy. And what does he yell? Hold the line. Hold the line. Hold. Hold. Hold the line. Push forward. Don't run away. Keep going. Hold the line. My fellow dads, men, I know you want your life to leave a legacy. No one knows who Horace Clack Balthrop Sr. is, except his line of sons to whom it meant the world. So this is my rallying cry for you. You must run the race with endurance, and when it gets difficult, hold the line. Hold the line of spiritual disciplines. Hold the line of investing in marriage. Hold the line of giving your kids what they need to become thriving disciples of Christ. And you hold the line for the rest of your days. For your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids until the Lord calls you home and says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Thank you.